We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello and welcome in to the inaugural episode of the So Rare Andrews podcast. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me on So Rare as Lairdinho. And joining me for this endeavor is Andy Black. So it's Andrew and an Andy, but it's a little easier for us to communicate that way.
I'm actually technically an Andrew. So
yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
You can find him on So Rare as Black. He very creative, but you know, that's his name. So
maybe I'll have to change it to Blackdinho.
There we go. But yeah, this is a new podcast that we're hoping to do pretty regularly about So Rare because we're both all in. I think that's the easiest
Junkies,
way to put it.
I think is the term you're looking for.
We're going to cover some different topics. This is not kind of a traditional, here are some players to target or some specific strategies. We're going to try to cover some different things all the time. And if you guys enjoy listening to the podcast and have any suggestions of what we should cover, we're certainly happy to discuss that. The title of this podcast specifically was the Goalkeeper Bundle. We're trying to play off the bundle. I thought that was very creative. So thank you for all the kind words that about coming up with something as good as that. But Andy, why are goalkeepers so expensive?
There's a word. I can't think of it. Scarcity.
Scarcity. Right? That's right.
Yes.
That's right. That's a big one in So Rare.
Yeah. You have to have one to complete a lineup, right? So, that is it. That's why they are expensive. There's one on each team or one that matters on each team. And your other positions, you have 2-3 players that are startable, usable. Goalkeeper, it's not that way.
I think the goalkeeper is actually like the most important position in terms of getting people to fully get into So Rare. Like everyone, yeah. I've spoken to like plenty of people who have started playing and it all comes back to like, I just need to get a goalkeeper and I can like really take off. And what's funny is that in order to do well, you don't really need like a great one. You just kind of need one. And yet you need more money for that one than the others.
I think that's just, it's just painful. It's painful for a new user to look at it and be like, oh, I got to buy this bottom tier MLS goalkeeper for $800. Are you serious? Like, that's painful. But in the end, I agree. Like, does the goalkeeper have a pulse is where I start. Do they start every game? And if the answers to those questions are yes, then it's a goalkeeper I'm interested in buying.
I think that's it. Like it's The guys who play all the time are going to be the more expensive ones, and it's because they play all the time. And usually teams that are good have either good goalkeepers, or the goalkeepers are good because the teams are good.
Right.
Like there is zero part of my research into goalkeepers about the goalkeeper himself. Like, is he a good shot stopper? Like, what is his XG? Like, I don't care at all.
It's you're like not like how an NFL combine guy where you're looking at like how high he can jump and his 40 time.
Right. I don't look at how tall they are. Like, if the guy is 5'7", but like he starts all the time, like I'm fine with that.
Yeah, great.
But it's just so weird. Like, now basically the advice that that I give to anybody when they start out is mostly like, once you get a feel for whether they really want to like jump into like spend money to like win cards and all of that, like just for the onboarding process, it's like, whatever you do, like forget about who your favorite teams are, even though that's what they ask. Like, just get a good common goalkeeper, because the good common goalkeepers are just so valuable for people who are just starting out and want to play the all-star D4.
Yeah, I don't even know that it's even like a good common goalkeeper. It's more of like, who's going to be playing a lot in the next, like, I don't know, 1 to 3 months. Like,
right.
Right now you'd want J-League, K-League, maybe not K-League, but MLS, J-League would be the two that you would want, because they're going to play a lot of games here soon.
Right, yeah. If you start now and you end up with Oblak and Courtois, you might be in trouble in a few weeks.
Right, like that would be awesome, and you can train them or whatever, but like, okay, like 3 weeks, I don't know, maybe farther than that. I don't know, I haven't even looked at the schedules, but a few weeks down the road, they're not going to be usable.
Yeah.
Probably when you need them the most, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I had somebody like bring it up to me today, because we were talking about, we have a few like similar players, and I sent them a screenshot from my team from last week, and I have a rare goalkeeper, and they were like, man, I just wish I had a rare goalkeeper. And I was like, if you look at the global all-star Division IV standings, there are tons of teams that were ahead of me that had a common goalkeeper. And now like they're not winning card. I didn't win a card in all-star this past game week, but like, If you're a new user, and or not even new, but like if you are playing so rare specifically for like the F threshold, and you and I have kind of talked about this before, like it's a lot of people who do that. Like, not everybody goes in being like, I'm going to try to, you know, build a team. Obviously, we all want to win cards.
Right.
But like, we also recognize it's difficult to do that, at least with the current payout structure, which is supposedly changing sometime soon. But like, as of now, that F payout is great. And if you can do that, if you can build like a legitimate team without having to spend so much on a rare goalkeeper, like if you have a budget, I think the best way to go about it is just like budget for your outfield players, and don't even worry that, you know, as long as you got a good common goalkeeper with a pulse, go for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's how I would approach. It's also kind of difficult to say, like, okay, this is how like a new player should play, because obviously do as you please. But yeah, I think that would be the goal. Collect your threshold, save it, and then, you know, at some point fork over the money for a rare goalkeeper. Or, you know, as I said, do as you please. Maybe it's build a lineup that you have another common goalkeeper for, and you go play in two lineups, like a U23 and a all-star, and maybe you got lucky and you have a U23 goalkeeper as well, and you can do that. By all means, do as you please, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Because obviously, I mean, we've seen plenty of people start out very much not interested in just playing for F payouts, and are like, what do I have to do to get into everything? Or, you know, if I want to compete in everything, or at least every region. I started out very much not thinking I would try to compete in every region at all. And now I'm like sweating my Asia lineup, D4 lineups, because it's just kind of what happens.
Well, it's you wake up in the morning and you check to see if you had any DMPs is what it comes down to now. Because, you know, those games are like 3 a.m. So that's what I always do, as I wake up. Like 7 a.m. Check my phone. DNP.
That's actually better. I had a guy that did play and then got sent off in the 28th minute. So I'm not sure that was. I think I would have just been more comfortable with the DNP. But yeah, I guess for people who have not bought goalkeepers yet, we kind of our notes here, like the being able to use your goalkeeper as much as possible is key. Like if you buy, you know, like a last place Eredivisie team goalkeeper, you have to realize that the season is ending soon. They also likely don't have any midweek utility. And in a few weeks, you're going to have to find somebody else also. So like time of year is just so huge of what kind of goalies you target.
And relegation too, right? If they're one of the bottom teams. So yeah, even worse is to have like that goalkeeper and then next year you can't even use them. So yeah, so I think what you're getting at kind of is like Euros or Europa League and Champions League and stuff like that. I think that that's really priced in. Like if you look at those goalkeepers right now, those guys all typically are just more expensive. I mean, it's the bigger name guys, of course, but I think it's really kind of priced in on who they are and how much they cost already.
Do you think you're getting a deal anyway, though, like on a per like you're obviously getting more utility out of them. So you, like they are more expensive, but like on a per start basis, do you think they're actually, I mean, they're not cheaper, but are they more a better value?
I don't know. I mean, I was looking at Jan Oblak the other day. It was Allison and he's so expensive. It was like 1.8 ETH or something.
Yeah.
And then you have a guy like, Reyna who plays for, Lazio, and the difference was like 1.5, ETH between the two. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, you get the little extra utility and he's getting more collectible, Oblak is, but, I think the point difference between the two was like an average in their last 15 or last 40 was like 1 or 2 points.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you get a few extra midweek games and a younger goalie. But if you're looking for now utility, it's like, I don't know.
I think that's the other kind of funny thing with how we look at goalkeepers, because there's a track record of goalkeepers playing longer. Pepe Reina is a great example. I think he's 37 now or so, which feels like he's like a spring chicken in Japan. But I feel like a lot of people buy goalkeepers because they were like, I need a goalkeeper right now.
Yeah.
And then they look into it and they're like, boy, this guy's old. And I'm like, well, if you need him right now, like what do you think is like the reasonable time horizon? Like when you're looking at a goalie, are you thinking, I hope I get 5 years out of this guy? Or are you like, I just hope to get through the summer?
Right. Yeah. And that was probably a bad example for me, but you're right. I mean, like Reina, like, okay, he probably doesn't play next year. This is zero research, but I don't know. Maybe you get lucky.
Yeah.
The classic one from the Belgian league was Penetal. I think if you go find his card, he's like 40 years old or something. He started last year and then he started the beginning of this year, lost his job, got it back for a few games. I can't imagine that guy is back next year. He's, you know, just a dinosaur at this point. But, there are those cards where it's like, yeah, if you had him and you knew he was playing, then it's a great card.
I think we feel that way with David Ospina now. Because like we've seen the success, or like you have to imagine he doesn't come back. But like he's still not that old, and he's starting for Napoli now.
I put that card in a totally different category,
though. Oh, okay.
Because you don't know week to week whether he's playing or not.
Sure, that right.
It's, you know, like when you know a 40-year-old guy is starting, great. You can plug him in, no worries. But when you have Merritt or Ospina, week to week, you're having to play this game in your mind of, okay, I don't know if he's actually playing. I think he's playing. I read somebody on Discord said he's probably playing. But do you put your best lineup with that goalkeeper? I'm not. I'm not putting my best lineup with either of those goalkeepers. If I have one of them, though, and I'm hoping to compete, I might just plug my leftover guys in that lineup, but I would never have total confidence that either of those guys is playing. And I think there's a few other situations kind of like that.
I think the worst part of that one is that if you were early enough to get both, it still doesn't even matter because we don't have subs, and like week to week, right. You're like, have one of these guys is going to play and it may not be the guy that you start.
Right. That reminds me a lot. And I don't know if your subscribers listen to or play like a lot of fantasy football or anything like that, but you know, it's like the running back by committees. Like, okay, you have both running backs and they're basically splitting the number of points that each other can get. So in some situations, it's really good to own one of them, but if you own both of them, you really don't want to start them both.
Right.
They're usually like you have to draft them both high to own them. So it's just a bad situation to kind of own both of those players in those situations. So that's kind of the way I liken the whole Merritt Ospina type situation.
And that doesn't even fall under like the handcuffing subject. Like, that's more of a fantasy NFL for those. I don't confuse some of our non-American listeners by saying fantasy football, but so like the idea for those who are not familiar with this handcuff concept is you basically the equivalent in So Rare is to buy a top tier goalkeeper, or really any goalkeeper, and then buy his backup. And it's an idea that's like starting to gain a little more traction because you're thinking like, if I'm spending all of this money on a goalkeeper and something happens to him, then I'm stuck. So maybe I spend the extra, and you know, most reasonable backup goalkeepers are still going for, you know, 0.1 at the most. Although in MLS they're getting a little crazy. So I told you that I think handcuffing is a terrible idea. And you were like, why is this? So, I say this after I've handcuffed none of my goalkeepers. And so I've definitely left myself a risk there that like, if one of my guys goes down, then obviously I'm now looking for a backup, and everybody who had Bill Hamid and didn't have Chris Seitz going into this MLS season now wishes they kind of had Chris Seitz. So the reason I don't do it, and that doesn't mean I don't buy backup goalkeepers, but the reason I don't do it is that it completely caps my upside in that I have two goalkeepers, and in a best case scenario, only one is playing. And I'll only sell one because the other one is just the backup. And so I get backup prices. So I basically bought starting goalkeepers and then bought backups of other starting goalkeepers. And I went out of my way to target backup goalkeepers on teams of expensive starters. So like Brian Meredith was like my first backup goalkeeper purchase, and he backs up Joe Willis, who went for like 0.8 ETH the other day.
Right.
And so it's like, I realize that if one of my starting goalkeepers goes down, Meredith doesn't start as of now. Right. So like I'm stuck.
Yeah.
But like the reason I did it is because I'm willing, like you do this with the expectation of like, my guy's going to get hurt, but like generally most of them don't. Like a lot of goalkeepers make it through the season. You know, they start most games.
Yeah.
And injuries are just kind of like bad luck. There's not something we can project. Obviously, if there are guys who are injured more often, then, you know, you have like a hesitation on it. Goalkeepers, I feel like, you know, they don't move enough for me to worry about them, you know, pulling up lanes.
Yeah, but they're old and their backs start to go out. So.
Well, that's, I think, choosing the right backup goalkeepers to go after. Like, do you go after like these guys who are at least 18, but don't start?
No, I really don't. So, like, I think that it's a good idea to buy those backups. But with that said, you know how often I do it? I really don't. I do think that if you have the scratch to do it, and you got the F to go buy a guy for, I don't know, maybe 0.05, or I don't know what those guys even go for. And it probably depends on the situation, right? Yeah. So there's probably situations where you have a really high-end goalie with a high-end backup. They're going to both be expensive, or maybe the backup's U23 and that's just going to make them expensive as well. But there's probably situations where the backup is like, you know, 33 years old, 35 years old, and you can get them for 0.03 to 0.06 or something. And, you know, those situations, it might not be a terrible idea to pick those guys up. But I think it just really depends on your situation. And, you know, do you have depth? Would you be absolutely crushed, crippled, not have money to buy another goalkeeper and not able to compete if you did have an injury? Then maybe you should buy the backup.
The insurance definitely sounds good in that situation.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm in a good situation with my MLS where I have plenty of options. But if I were in a situation where, you know, I only had two goalkeepers and I was planning on competing in All-Star and Champion America, I don't know that the best option would be to buy like a third goalkeeper, because I'm not going to be able to use him every week. So that's going to be, what is a MLS goalkeeper now? 0.5 minimum?
Ish, yeah.
I mean, I could buy both are one backup for maybe 0.1.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know. I think that might be a good situation. Like if I don't have super rares to compete in D3, not saying that you have to have super rares to compete in D3, but if I don't, then I mean, and maybe I don't have a lot of other players to play in D3. Maybe buying the backups is a good situation there.
It's certainly it's smart. I think it's like,
yeah.
I think it's, you're reducing a lot of the risk, just your own kind of portfolio risk of like, if I lose this guy, I'm in a lot of trouble, and it's in a position that, as we said, is scarce. And so everything is expensive. And the benefit is that you don't have to go out and buy another starter because you get it.
Did we just create the run on backup goalies?
I think I've seen enough tweets. I'll be honest. So I've seen some people tweeting about this,
yeah.
Which is why I wanted to talk about it. And I got like personally offended because somebody was tweeted about Alec Khan, who's Brad Guzan's backup. And I have Guzan. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You stay away because Guzan will be fine. And I had this like personal offense.
Is he the guy that played yesterday when Guzan got the red?
You told me that he got hurt. You said, what happened to Guzan? And I was like, oh my, yeah. What happened? And I'm running to my computer to buy Alec Khan. And I was like, oh, it's a red card. Okay. And
yeah.
So
that was the player that played though yesterday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because yeah. I watched the game. He played quite well, I thought. I mean, he had to make a lot of saves. They were dominating.
I'm sure we have a goalie controversy now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The funny thing is, so it totally depends on the team, obviously. Like some teams have like an old journeyman backup, and some have, you know, the next kid up who they think is going to start.
Yep.
Like I have Franco Armani from River Plate, who's 34. And I'm like, he's 34. Like maybe I should get his backup and, you know, like protect myself a little bit. So his backup is 38 and
yeah,
third stringer is 39.
It's the guy, his name is like Bologna or
yeah.
something. Yeah. I saw him the other day.
And I'm just like, does it even make sense for me to buy that card? Like even if he goes down, like it can't be, right?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, how much does that card cost?
I didn't even look, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at his name and I saw his age and I'm like, I don't think I need to buy this card for whatever cost it is.
Yeah. And they might even have like three keepers on that team. So like
mm-hmm.
it could even turn into one of those situations like we saw with the, I think it was a Galaxy where like, okay, they got rid of their starter and then they went straight to the third stringer. When they brought in Klinsmann.
Yep.
They completely skipped over somebody. I forget who it was, but it was like, nope, they jumped over him. They brought Klinsmann up and that's who they were playing. So like, it could even be a situation where like, it's almost like the Merritt Ospina thing and you know, the starter goes down. So now we're going to rotate between our two backups. So it's not a sure bet either. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just the overall lesson with all goalkeepers is just get the guy who starts and is not in jeopardy of losing his job. And obviously like goalkeepers on bad teams sometimes get blamed for the bad play. And so like they can lose.
Or it's almost like the hockey situation and you know, they're losing or we gave up a lot of goals and you know what, we're going to just switch goalies to try to change the chemistry, the team chemistry up a little bit. So
the economy is made up of real people doing real stuff and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. The other thing I was kind of thinking about too was like, okay, we have, we have a situation where the team's playing poorly and they swap out the goalie or whatever. Yeah, you're gonna have to cut this part out because I completely forgot where I was going.
I think, well, it's funny because we're talking about like good and bad goalkeepers. And mostly like we want to talk about like their SO5 scores.
Right.
And they're not like drastically different in terms of like the full range of goalkeeper outcomes. Like I think that's the difficult part too. Like you're so, have we even had 100 yet? Like 100 point goals? We were talking about it, I know, a few weeks ago.
I don't think so. I think Neuer came really close. I think he was like 95 or something, but I don't think anybody's done it.
Yeah, and so like we want to pay it, you know, top, you know, if you want to pay top dollar for the other positions, yeah. Like there's an expectation that they score in the 80s and 90s. And like the best goalkeeper scores, like you're getting now consistent 60s will do you quite well for a goalkeeper. But it's just like the range of outcomes is just so much smaller when it comes to goalkeepers. And yet price wise, they're all just so much higher and it's less the scoring. It's like one of those parts of So Rare that's so different because we talked previously that utility in the game is what drove the price and not the collectability aspect of it. And a lot of the collectability aspect of it is the scarcity. And yet goalkeeper prices are high because they're the scarce cards. Right. So they're in this like weird middle ground where like, if you get 60 from your goalkeeper, you could win a card if your other players do well, but if they get blasted then, but it's even like a poor goalkeeper score is going to be higher than like a really poor outfield player score.
Yeah. You know, and that, I actually remember what I was going to say. I was going to say that, you know, the moment you even hear or get that hint of your goalkeeper, like maybe being in contention, like for losing their job. I think that that's like, you want to be the first to move there. Like, I don't want to wait to find out if they definitely are not going to play this weekend. I'm going to try to sell it below market value and just move on to something else. There's plenty of fish out there, right? So, and I mean that in goalkeepers, there's plenty of goalkeepers out there for me to just pick a different one. But I definitely don't want to be holding a goalkeeper that just lost his job. Like the whole Valencia situation between, I can't pronounce either goalkeeper's name, so I'm not even going to try, but
Domenech,
like being in Chilison. Either of those, what's that?
Domenech and Chilison, or?
Yeah. So like, immediately when Domenech or whatever lost his job, like immediately that card became, I don't want to say worthless, but it was just like, ugh, I don't want to own this anymore. And then it kind of flipped back where the other one got hurt. And now that this card's the one that you want to own. But yeah, there's a lot of weird like situations like that where it's like when you start to hear whispers that there might be a controversy, it's good to be the first mover there.
Yeah. I think one of the other reasons I buy these very young backup goalkeepers who have basically no chance at playing is because U23 goalkeepers are just so hard to get. It seems like there are half the J League is U23, but of course they're all like 1.5 F at this point. But we were talking like even so, Marcinkowski from San Jose is the only current U23 goalie in MLS, I believe, starting goalie. And he loses it in July.
Right.
And so it's like, how do we compete like this when there's so many, when they're just like not guys available? And like, have you have you ever bought a U23 goalie because he's U23?
Well, yeah.
And 100%, do you still have
him? Of course, yeah. I mean, like, so real quick, the key there is to own J League goalies if you want to compete in U23 this summer. Like, I mean, or buy a Chilla and hope to get lucky, or the guy in Vancouver, I think, Hassel or however you pronounce it. Like, You can buy those guys, but those guys are expensive. Those guys, you're paying the price for like Achiuwa right now. Like you're paying for a top tier U23 goalkeeper, and he's not even the starter right
now.
You're
not playing yet. So, yeah.
Like, okay, I'm probably not going to be that. That's crazy. But yeah, certainly I've bought. Those are divisions that I like to compete in. I own a lot of U23 players. I think that it's kind of fun to play in those divisions. So yeah, I certainly have bought plenty of U23 goalkeepers.
But do you buy them after they're starters or before?
Yeah, so after they're starters. So I get the wallet out and I fork it over.
And I'm trying to bring in Ortwin DeWolf here because like the...
So the tale of Ortwin, I mean, to everybody out there that doesn't know who he is, this is such a unique situation because he was U23. He was like one of the OG Belgian League U23 guys. And his prices were always really affordable that, I guess, 2019, 2020 year, because that was supposed to be his last year of being a U23 goalkeeper. But I guess there were like three different birthdays listed out on the web for him. And the one that Opta had was wrong. So I think somebody in the community ended up tweeting Ortwin and they were like, "Hey man, when's your birthday?" or something. I don't know what exactly they said, but I don't even know if they got a response, but I remember it created a big like controversy, and it ended up being that he got another year of U23 eligibility because his birthday was wrong. So all the people that had him were like rejoicing, you know, because they had U23 keepers set for this year. But I don't think we're going to have that situation again where the Wolf gets another year. I'm hoping, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Just forever U23? He'll be the one exception where...
It's like Benjamin Button. He's
gonna be younger. Yeah. So do you have any advice of people who are looking for goalies?
U23 goalies or just any goalies?
Just anything.
I mean, I think that we kind of already spoke to it. I mean, like, do they have a pulse? Are they the 100% starting goalkeeper? Like, I would be afraid right now, and not to get into, like, specifics, but, like, the Westberg-Bono situation, like, okay, Bono just started that Champions League game. I saw a lot of stuff on that he was, like, he had some family, personal stuff, whatever. But he had two games last season where he just – out of the blue needed rest. So, and it was unannounced. So anybody that started him, started Westberg was just like SOL for that game week, which that's a little concerning. And then going into this year, the things that I wanted to do this offseason was, find a different super rare goalie that I can use because, if I'm playing a super rare goalie, the stakes are a little bit higher. And that one DNP where he needs rest or whatever is just it's a little more hurtful. So I wanted to just get out of that and get into something else.
Sure.
So I think that any kind of situation where you have a goalkeeper that might rest out of the blue, like another situation is the whole Juventus situation because
Chesney's phone.
Yeah, he just started out of the blue this week.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think anybody expected that. I think somebody even said that at their press conference, the Pirlo said that it was definitely going to be one of the goalkeepers, and then the other one started over the weekend. So, and he started enough this season to where it's frustrating. You know, you set that lineup, and then boom, it's just wiped out.
Yeah.
One DNP right now, and you might as well not even set a lineup. So. Any situation where you have a goalkeeper that just may not start for some reason, that's a goalkeeper I don't want to own.
That's pretty much what I did. Like I bought my MLS goalies months ago and mm-hmm. On the advice of our friend, Ivaldo, when I was starting to get into Soares, he was like, just so you know, you're going to have to buy a goalie at some point. Like you can't compete really without one. I was like, all right. And I saw the prices and I'm like, gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, who are these guys and why do I have to pay so much? And then finally he was like, you're gonna need one. Like you've done this, you've tried to play and you need a goalie. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll get it. So that's exactly what I did. I was like looking at at MLS, and I was like, I'm going to want MLS keepers, and who are the guys who I'm comfortable with. And of course this is months ago, so like you don't really know. But I ended up with like older guys because those are the guys that you know. Like I was looking at Stefan Fry and Tim Melia, Guzan. And just like, I'm not sure those are guys I want to own for 5 years because, well, I'm going to have to own them forever because there's no way they're lasting five more years.
Right.
But I wanted them for now. Like I have this weird thing that it's difficult for me to plan, or I want to build my teams with a plan. But it also seems weird to build a plan years in advance. And yet everyone's like, well, if you just look at the price that you're paying and you just, you know, look at it over 10 years that you can use the card. And I'm like, I don't know if SoRare's around in 10 years. I don't know if it's around in five. Like the money's leaving my hands now. It's not leaving my hands over 10 years.
Yeah.
But it was
I think a way to think of that a little bit is like, you know, if you do get a goalkeeper that's 26, you won't have to pay that money next year.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, because if he plays again next year, then you're, you know, and Guzan retires, which I think his contract's actually good for two more years. I don't know if we'll play it out, but you may have to buy a replacement next year, or you could win a goalkeeper this year.
True.
It's plausible that you win a starting goalkeeper this year. So, I mean, and that's one thing that I always, it's hard to bank on that, right? Like winning something. But you have a whole season. You have, I think, two or three pretty solid America squads for All-Star and Champion America. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that you could pick up a starting goalkeeper this year through rewards. So I think getting in the game and having that lineup out there every week is obviously really important for future planning, because you can pick up cards along the way that may not seem useful now, but they're going to be useful down the road.
Yeah, I guess just the weird thing that I have is that the planning, it's like I'm accounting for 5 years, even 3 years.
Yeah.
But I'm really not planning for three. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to play Guzan in game week 14 in the 2024 season. Like that, like,
right.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
But it just seems like everybody justifies it with like, well, it's a long-term thing. You don't have to pay for your entries, so that's good. And I'm like, yep, I guess. But now I still have to like pony up this money. But I think that's like the biggest thing with people who don't own a goalkeeper and are looking at the price and just saying like, that's a lot of money, and having other people tell them like, well, you don't have to pay to enter any of the contests. And, you know, you own this forever and you can play them forever. But like, that actually doesn't make it any cheaper, especially now with like, if new people are coming in and ETH is at 2000, you know, like, I don't know.
I think another way to kind of, you know, if it makes you feel better too, you know, if you're buying a 25-year-old goalkeeper and let's say in 3 years, you know, you played a lot of SoRare and you love it, but in 3 years, your heart's just not in it anymore. But the game's still around. It's going to be a lot easier to resell a 28-year-old goalkeeper than a 37-year-old goalkeeper
that's a good point
about to retire. So, I mean, you have to think of it in those terms too, where, you know, these cards will have resellable resale value. So you'll be able to resell them at some point. So if you ever wanted to ease out of the game or just leave the game or whatever, having a younger goalkeeper is going to be more appealing to the next guy that might want to play for 3 years and then do the same thing that you did. So, I guess think of it that way as well.
That's a good point for sure. I didn't build that into my plan of reselling.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of joke because like, I mean, I did that video previously that like how you actually make money on SoRare is by selling cards or, you know, or winning threshold. But I didn't buy anything with like, oh, I'll just sell that later.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this Brad Guzan card is going to be a passed down for future Lair generations.
Yeah. Well, he could become a coach's card at some point. So.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Okay.
I have a company card that now says coach on it. Like, not the text on the card, but if you actually click into him, it shows that he's a coach now because he coaches Andy.
That's fun.
Kind of cool.
Who is it?
Vincent Kompany.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun card to own.
Yeah.
Did you get XP for it?
I haven't. Oh, you mean on the weekend event or the international break event? No, not that one. No. Oh, well. I saw somebody got Zidane. I think you mentioned it. Zidane got some XP.
That's a tough one.
Good for him.
Although I got mine on a U23 goalkeeper that had one horrific start and will probably be benched now. So,
is there still COVID going around gymnasia?
I don't even know yet. Doing this on a Thursday. I got to look up
that. It sounds like
starting to Tomas Durso this week is going to be talk about getting DMPs.
Yeah. Well, how about this? You always ask most of the questions. So how about I ask a question? When do you set most of your lineups?
I do them all Thursday night, and I finalize them all Thursday night, and I submit everything, and then I redo them all on Friday. I go to sleep Thursday night fully prepared to, like, this is it. I'm set. To be honest, I probably don't redo them all, but I definitely make change. I actually, with the change in game week time back to the original, I tweak even more, which,
you get more news now.
Yes. Although to be honest, I'm pretty sure none of the changes I make are news related. I just have, the contests that I enter are, and the players that I have is just ripe for tinkering. It's awful. I have like two guys for one spot or three guys for another spot. And I'm just like constantly, and there's really nothing that makes me favor one guy or the other. I'm just like, well, this guy worked last week, so it should be the other guy's turn. I'm like, unless this guy's hot, like there's no real reason. The matchups are the same, or, you know, like they're similar enough. So I'm going to have this problem with MLS with my goalies, because I have three MLS goalkeepers right now.
For two spots.
For two spots.
Yeah.
And so.
But they'll usually have a weekly too. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. You're right. I probably have enough MLS cards. I don't enter the weekly now because I don't really have like enough cards to do it, but MLS I might. One of the things when I joined So Rare back in like November, December, I started buying MLS cards because they were so much cheaper. So that, I wish I bought a lot more back then. I think pretty much everybody says that when they join So Rare, like, oh, if I had only joined, or if I only bought so much more.
If I only bought those Christmas bundles in December.
the prices are comical now. A friend of mine bought one of the DC United ones, and Bill Hamid sold like recently for twice what he paid for the bundle, which included a Hamid. So the off season stuff, like, I was talking to somebody the other day, like, I think I'm going to try to buy some European goalkeepers like now.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Soon. Like if you have the F to do it, like try to, or.
Yeah, I think I don't know when the perfect, I'm not going to try to guess the perfect time. But, I mean, we look, you know, another two or three weeks, not two or three, maybe another 2 months down, like middle of June, you find a goalkeeper that has no possibility of, like, playing in the Euros or anything, like a Belgian league goalkeeper that has 200 cards minted.
Sure.
And is definitely the starter. Like, those might be guys worth trying to scoop up, and you might get a pretty good deal, all things considered. I mean, the prices that you were able to pick up like MLS goalkeepers back in December. I think there might be people that 10x on some of those cards, maybe not 10x, but like 8x. Like if you bought a Willis back in November, I don't know, November, December, I don't know what the bottom of him was, but I'll guess it was below 0.2. Maybe closer to 0.15, maybe.
I'm going to try to quickly pull it up here on SoRare data because I think it's actually lower.
Really?
Let's see. This is December 13th. Okay, 0.11.
Wow.
That was the bottom.
And I think the top was 1 or close to 1. 0.8, 0.9.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the top was basically his old super rare prices.
Right.
Yeah,
that
0.9.
Will not happen. Like, an 8X will not happen on Belgian League or, like, European League stuff.
Right.
But you could definitely buy a goalkeeper for half price, I'm thinking. I mean, somebody that really – maybe somebody that goes into MLS, or there might be a lot of people that maybe go into MLS thinking that they have pretty solid squads right now. They might get into a situation where they're like, oh my gosh, there's really, really good teams out there. I'm going to have to sell some of my Belgian stuff to improve my team to really compete in MLS. I think that that's like the type of scenarios that, you know, can be exploited or taken advantage of a little bit when people are selling off those cards to really improve those MLS teams. I think that that's the time to kind of like scoop those up and get yourself ready for the fall.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that So Rare does is that you don't want to miss out on game weeks.
Yeah.
But most of the user base is more interested in the European cards, but like there's nothing this summer. And so you have this weird thing that like, are they going to try to play MLS and J League and K League because they just want to keep playing?
Right.
Or do you just sit out for 3 months and try to get some,
right?
It's not fun at all.
So they're probably throwing together kind of crummy teams right now, would be my guess. And then they're going to say, this isn't fun. And then that's when you'll see some of those Belgian League, European League guys go on sale. So you'll get them cheap. And then, I don't know, that's my prediction, is we'll see some of that. Because the guys that really went in and competed hard in MLS last year, there's some really, really good teams out
there
with, you know, five incredible players. I should say four. The goalkeepers. None of the goalkeepers are in the MLS. Which we know. I don't know why we didn't talk about that. People that are the difference between like a Bradley Guzan and Joe Willis. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Willis is not elite tier. Like, there's no elite tier MLS goalkeeper.
Nope.
It's just, but people are paying it like there is. I mean, I get that. Yes, there's SO5 scoring discrepancies where, yeah, Willis and Maurer, I think, were the top two. But were they the two best goalies in the MLS? I mean, they didn't win MLS Goalkeeper of the Year. Blake did. So, yeah.
And you're working completely off of the expectation that what happened last year will happen this year. And
right.
It's a totally different season. Like,
yeah,
totally different. Like, not just like, oh, it's a new season. Like, MLS last year, you know, was broken up. They had the tournament at Disney. They came back, had a bunch. Like, that was the hardest part with me trying to figure out what to do with MLS players this year, is that like last year was just so different. A bunch of players didn't even play. Like, elite players didn't play. And so like now they're coming back. And the expectation, I mean, Joe Willis is being bought with the full expectation that he's going to be the best goalkeeper, at least from an SO5 standpoint, in Major League Soccer.
Right.
But there are 26 others.
Yeah.
That very well could be. And so.
And that's a very good defensive team, but they're still, like, what, a couple of years off being an expansion team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that there's any certain – I would say there's no certainty on that roster, really, beyond Walker Zimmerman and, you know, a couple other good players that they have. I would not be putting my eggs in that, all my eggs in that basket, but yeah. What do I know?
MLS is weird enough that I think anybody who starts regularly is fine. Like, I don't think you're losing out by taking a guy, you know, paying half of what you could pay for Willis or somebody who starts. I think that's the key, is that, somebody who starts is not always the easiest, and those guys are going to get priced up a little bit because they're starting. We also don't have cards for a decent number of starters. Hopefully we get them this year. So
what are your thoughts? Do you think that the price is baked in for guys that go on international duty? Like, no. So like, we have certain goalkeepers where, like, and I think this is so funny, because like in other leagues, the fact that you are representing your nation should be considered like a huge plus.
Yes.
That's a cool thing. You're representing, you know, Belgium or whoever. And then in the MLS, it's like this big negative thing, like Galiz and Rui Diaz and all these guys represent their countries, and they just leave. They leave their team for a lot of weeks this year.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on those guys?
So I was actually specifically targeting their backups because they're going to be games where they're gone. And this isn't like a maybe he gets hurt. Like, he is literally in Peru, so I know he's not starting, and so I will take the other guy. A lot of those backups are not on So Rare either, which is kind of a bummer. But I don't think international duty is priced in at all. Like, the thought is that you should get those guys slightly cheaper than they should be, because you're I don't see it at all. The reason why it's a problem is because those guys are the better goalkeepers, and so, like, naturally just they get pushed up because
makes sense.
But we don't even have the same thing with the European guys, where you're like, at least I get some extra utility because of the midweek games with Europa and Champions League. Like, there's no CONCACAF Champions League contests on So Rare, or, you know, they don't count them. And so you're not getting any extra utility. You're literally losing utility. And yet the price is still just all the way up there.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the exact opposite of what you expect. Yeah. I had a good situation last year where me and a friend of mine, we both bought Rowe, who's Galiz's backup.
Yeah.
And I think I won Champions D4, and he won All-Star Division 3 using his backup one game week. So that was kind of a cool thing. We both picked him up like for dirt cheap, knowing that Galiz was going to go on duty. And it was like the grand plan worked, right?
I mean, we saw people, like, when the U.S. didn't qualify for the Olympics, and it was like, oh, that's a bummer. But at least I get my guys all season, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not that upset about it. But yeah, I think there might have been a little bit for some of those guys of like, oh, he's going to be gone for the Olympics. And then as soon as we didn't get it, the price just went right back up.
Yeah.
But the Ochoa situation is like the perfect example of everything we've talked about, that he's U23, but he has a split. He doesn't even win the job yet. He may not win it at all. There was a possibility he was going to be gone for the Olympics, and yet I think his price never really dropped that much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still at like 0.7 or 0.8 or something crazy for a Rare. I mean, I think eventually he's probably going to be the starter this year. Maybe not. I don't know. But I would think that, like, if I were a fan of RSL, like, I would want the, you know, the new young player to win that job. I would want them to win the job, though, not just get the job.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine if they just gave it to him. You can have him for 0.6 right now, if you want.
On the market right now for 0.6.
So the benefit of Ochoa, though, is that he's 20. So, like, if he doesn't start this year, maybe he starts next year. But it's a bummer to pay 0.6 for a guy that you can't play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for somebody that you're just sitting on for a year.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's not really something I buy it, like, young players like Musa or I want to buy Hope, but it's like, yeah, you're not going to get to use them for quite a bit. I mean, one of which might get relegated and just be totally useless.
Right.
But, yes.
That's the benefit of MLS. No relegation risk.
Right.
Just risk of being the worst team in the league. Yeah. Did we cover everything that we wanted to? I think so. I got nothing else.
Yeah.
Other than you should just buy a goalkeeper.
Yeah, buy a goalie. You should buy a goalie.
But any starting goalie, like, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, like, they start, you should buy them. and they're cheap. They have to be cheap, too.
Right. Yeah, definitely buy the cheap starting goalies.
Very relative term, cheap.
Yeah. No, we did talk about this earlier today, not on this podcast, but it does seem like a lot of the MLS goalkeepers haven't been minted in a while. And we're like, Andre Blake's last rare was February 27th. It is currently April 8th. But based on the number, like that was his 65th of 100. Yeah. And Maurer went yesterday, his 64th went yesterday. And so I think they were just all playing catch up. So I don't know if they're
going to... Some of them were in the end of the 70s though, right?
Guzan and Fry made it to 70.
And they're still minting those, right?
Yeah, they should be. Well, no, Fry was March 14th, Melia March 15th. But like they should... I don't know if they're going to try to get to 100.
Yeah.
But you would... I don't think that the new... There hasn't been an announcement yet of when the new cards are coming. But like just... scarcity wise and the people need these cards, I feel like they should get these last 30 to 35 out soon. You think that affects prices?
Certainly. It's just weird to me, and I guess there's some algorithm in the background that they're working off of, or maybe not, I don't know, but there's got to be some method to the madness. I don't know what it is though.
But
I also think too, these cards, some of them they may be setting aside as rewards.
True.
I don't know why they would be setting aside, you know, like the some of the Blakes, but not the other guy or whatever. But I mean, we're gonna be here in a week. Here in a week, we're gonna have Champions America fired up, really with leftover MLS stuff from last year.
Right.
And then some, two Liga MX teams and
two
one Argentinian team. So two. We have River. The Gymnasia, they ran out of cards last year. They at least ran out of super rares. I think that they only have like tier two and tier three players on that team. So I remember somebody won a Jorge Brown super rare as a tier one, or maybe even a star reward. Because at the end of the MLS season last year, they ran out of star and tier one rewards.
Wow!
So they're going to start up a new season, and they're going to probably have to go through every single river. And Santos card, which that means people are going to win I can't pronounce it, Goriaran.
Yeah.
They're going to win those probably as star cards, and he's out injured.
Yep.
There's some cool cards on River that I would like to win. But I don't know if they're all, like De La Cruz would be a star. Rafael, what's his
name? Boré,
He would be probably a star. I don't know how many star rare or star cards they would actually have on that team though.
Yeah, not stars, yeah.
So they're going to be in there's going to be an interesting situation here when this new season starts up and we have to figure out rewards for these divisions.
And the top 6 all get Andre Blake cards?
Maybe. Yeah, everybody gets a Blake.
Yeah. but you don't think that if they just started minting them, that you think prices would go down?
Yeah, I think so, right? I mean...
They should.
Yeah.
But I don't think they actually do. Like, I think...
You don't think so?
No, I think everybody who is not buying cards now, they just look at the secondary and they're like, that's just too expensive, I'm not going to buy. And then they say, here are some new cards. And everybody, all of those people go to them. So, like, it's almost like the current market has set the price this high, but that's because it's not including all of these people, because they're just like, forget it, I can't afford that. So then when they're like, oh, here's an auction, and now it's this huge other group of people that are just going after them.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really paid that close of attention to it. I mean, it seems like prices have kind of slowly come down since they went to minting selling a card every minute.
Yeah. The endless power.
But I mean, it's always a power. But I think that we're also like in a kind of a weird time too, where you know, one season's kind of ending, one's getting ready to fire up.
Yep.
Between like the European divisions and the MLS, so I don't know that I have a good handle on like the dynamics of that. And then also too, like the secondary market, I think that the new signings have really kind of taken over as well, because you know, one a minute, it's, I think people feel like they can potentially get the best deal on the auctions. I don't know that that's always the case. It's probably not always the case because you see people paying more on the auction than on the secondary market. But
depends if you're trying to scam
people feel like that's where they might be able to get a deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know where the deal. I haven't seen a deal yet on MLS goalkeeper where I'm like, oh, goodbye.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, I don't. Well, MLS goalkeeper. I think that the only goodbyes, maybe not the only goodbyes, but the best buys were back in like December, January, when, you know, there was like really no incentive. Like nobody really wanted to buy them. I mean, it was like, oh, a card I can use in 5 months. Like, you might even want to talk about your experience there a little bit. When you bought those cards, what were you thinking? Like, oh, I'm going to use these in 6 months.
So yeah, nobody was buying MLS cards at that point. Like I got, Tim Melia for 0.104 on, I'm trying to pull it up here on So Rare Data. What is the date here? But there were like four bids.
Yeah.
And like, no, there were a number of cards that I got. This was, oh, February 7th. So I actually waited a little bit. Like February seems late. But like I got Guzan through an offer for 0.098. And like those, you just can't do that anymore. And I,
no.
But the reason I did it was because somebody told me, if you're going to compete in MLS, you're going to need a goalie and you may as well do it now. And yeah. I don't know what happened one day where I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it now. But yeah. I bought, yeah, Melia, Clement Jop, and Guzan within like 2 days. And I was like, I'm done.
Got my goalies.
And yeah, that's why I was saying like the European stuff now, like if you just care about European SO5, like goalkeepers, this is basically the February of leading up to that season. So I feel like, or maybe you wait until this season ends.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think another month, maybe.
Yeah. There's just no incentive. Like if there's no short-term incentive, which seems silly because all of this is like considering long-term, but if there's no short-term incentive, like that's where you're going to find the deals.
Yeah. You know, I shouldn't talk about bots, but I'm going to talk about bots real quick. Like an arbitrage bot that bought all these guys up as their prices came down and then resold them back. That would be interesting. Or even just if somebody wanted to do that, it's just like, hey, I'm going to be a market maker. I'm going to buy up all these European goalies as people don't want them. And then I'll be the guy that everybody comes to in the fall when they need a goalie.
I 100% considered that because the only it's not a negative. The negative, it depends on how you want to look at it. But like you have to hold them for a while.
Yeah,
You're basically
there's risk
holding
associated with it.
Yeah. So like if you are willing to, I mean, if you're constantly doing it, then I guess it, you know, you have that flow. But yeah. Ultimately, like you're buying cards now and you're like, I'm going to try to sell these again in 4 months. And right. You have to fight the urge to just sell them sooner than that.
Yeah. Yeah. You need deep pockets, but I feel like there's guys that have really just turned into dealers almost.
Yeah.
Like I won't say any names, but I made a trade with a guy the other day and he is a dealer. I don't know that he even submits lineups, but I think that, and I don't know that those guys do a lot of, like individual buying, like they're buying one and two off the market, or if they're buying like whole collections, but there might be that might be good opportunities for some of those guys to just start buying up those cards and then resell them in the fall.
I don't know if you even necessarily need like the deepest of pockets to do it. I think you just have to have the patience to wait 4 months to sell. And then,
right.
And then you can't even sell immediately or buy back immediately. Like if just trying to put a calendar on it, like you buy MLS cards in December and you're selling them in April, you're probably not buying your Euro cards until June, July,
yeah.
June. But that's probably the quick turnaround because you're selling those in July, August.
Right.
So the Euro ones. But then then you have nothing until the MLS dip in December.
Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. Right. This is exactly why I didn't do it myself. Right.
Right.
Because I didn't want to do that. All right. I think we've gone long enough here. So, yeah. So this is, like I said, the inaugural So Rare Andrews podcast. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWire Andrew. You can find me on So Rare at Lairdino. I believe in Lairdino on the So Rare Discord. Might be Andrew M. Laird. Sorry for the changes there. Andy, you, AB Black 86?
Yeah, A Black 86.
A Black. Twitter. What did I say? Yeah. AB Black. I added a B in there. A Black 86 on Twitter. Black on the So Rare Discord and on So Rare itself. As I said, this podcast brought to you by RotoWire. RotoWire, a fantasy sports site that covers a ton of soccer stuff. It is a subscription site, but we have an offer for a free 10-day subscription. If anybody is interested, you can go to rotowire.com/pod. That's P-O-D. Gets you 10 free days to the site. No credit card required. We have a ton of soccer content. We do not cover every single So Rare League, as Andy learned a few months ago. But we do have plenty of MLS and Liga MX stuff, as well as the big European league. So feel free to check that out. Andy, thanks for that. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.